Thanks, Ken. Today I'm sitting in a different room than I normally reside in, so it may sound a bit echoey. I am moving next Saturday, and I wanted to let that be known here in the room. Things are, it's kind of like by the seat of your pants. So I have every intention of being here for my time and listening into church. It's such a wonderful thing for me to be with. And so I want to say first and foremost how very grateful I am to be part of an online church, because it doesn't matter whether I'm in California or whether I'm in the Villages, which is Florida. You're with me wherever I go. It's like that lesson, God goes with me wherever I go. And that is the greatest part about the online church, is I feel more connected viscerally to all of you than I've ever felt in a brick and mortar church. I have to say, that's just my personal experience. And the occasions when certainly we have been able to get together and actually meet each other in person has also been, always joyous for me. And so, in gratitude, I want to say I'm, overflowing in my heart in love for all of you, both here in the room and on the radio, and who decide to be part of this wonderful organization. So I really would like to start with the prayer from Lesson 345, which is Gentle Healing's lesson for the day. It happens to be, I offer only miracles today, for I would have them be returned to me. And the prayer says, Father, a miracle reflects your gifts to me. And everyone I give returns to me, reminding me the law of love is universal. Even here, it takes a form which can be recognized and seen to work. The miracles I give are given back in just the form I need to help me with the problems I perceive. Father, in heaven, it is different, for there are no needs. But here on earth, the miracle is closer to your gifts than any other gift that I can give. Then let me give this gift alone today, which born of. So I'm going to read that last sentence again. Then let me give this gift alone today, which born of true forgiveness lights the way that I must travel to remember you. And I love Regina's definition of forgiveness from one of her tips. And her definition of forgiveness is abiding as unaffected self is forgiveness. That just feels so much lighter than my previous meaning that I had given to forgiveness, still having some sort of external focus, if truth be told. It still seemed as if there was a forgiving of another, when in fact it's always my own decision to abide as the truth of who I am or not. It's always ultimately my choice to give meaning to everything. I would say that hasn't really been I haven't taken full always taken full responsibility for that, and have often noticed myself engaged in blaming or seeing guilt outside of myself, or affirming that the idea of guilt was a real and true emotion, all of that. And one of the things that's most recently been very, very helpful to me that I spoke to earlier in the room and also was addressed by Reverend Carey this morning was the Loving All Method. And it's a type of meditation that is engaged in when the eyes are open, generally, when we're engaged in activity. And Barb spoke to, from Robert Adams' reading, spoke to the idea of doing. And with this move, for me personally, there has been a mountain of doing. And so it has been a real exercise to be very, very engaged in physical activity that seems necessary to meet a time frame for a move, which is next Saturday, and stay focused with attention on stillness. And the Loving All Method has been just recently most helpful because of the amount of activity that seems necessary to have things go smoothly. And I really appreciate it. Thank you, Cheryl, for reminding me. I haven't seen it the last couple of times. But I was expressing that the Loving All Method feels like a very simple opportunity that is available for use. You know, loving everything exactly as it is. Loving everything I perceive exactly as it is. Loving every experience exactly as it is. Just loving it. And it occurred to me as I reflected on that, you know, that very love which precedes these experiences, which precedes perception, which is a knowing love that is not of, you know, intellectual knowledge, that love is the love that I turn towards in this, that love. The imposter self, I'm going to say, that self that thinks it loves and sees a world also loves and sometimes doesn't love. All of that, and every splinter that seems to reflect and refract in the world, that seems to be able to be seen, all of it is loved. That's what the Loving All Method is. Love it all. Just love it all. Be that love. that is the love that I'm going to say, because it only knows itself, that's all there is for it. And so when I turn my attention towards that amidst all of, the worldly distraction, and right now it seems to be, physical, a lot of it in the physical, using the physical form to work, I can love that work. I can use that love for everything that seems to be occurring. Everything. And if I notice physical, soreness or fatigue or whatever, I can love that too. Because truth is, I'm none of that. I'm none of that. I'm not the body. I'm not the body pain. I'm not the physical worker. I'm not the action. I'm not the doer. I'm not the circumstance. I'm not any of that. Even as it all goes on. So as I turn my attention more toward the still aspect, I'm going to, I think when I move, I'm going to see how it goes there, first of all, but this dropping of the mic is a pain, so I will probably be using my iPad, and hopefully that will resolve the problem. Okay, I will begin in Experience Your Perfect Soul, which is the book I've been reading for a bit now. I'm not on my phone, Cheryl. I'm on my Mac. And so ever since I did the upgrade, the Pal Talk upgrade, the mic has dropped. And I've checked my settings and all of that business, and I'm not really sure because it doesn't seem to happen. The one time that I did try my iPad, I didn't have that problem, so I may have to do that. Okay, I'm going to go to the reading, and hopefully, yes, we are reading from Experience Your Perfect Soul. It's a joyful path to self-realization. It's a book that Michael Langford composed, and it is a book of powerful quotes, and it's by Ruby Nelson, Elise, quotes by Ruby Nelson, Elise Morgan, William Samuel, Eva Bell Werber, Joel S. Goldsmith, Catherine Piedrick, and W. Norman Cooper. And we have been reading from, let's see, Eva Bell Werber in Chapter 5. And Eva Bell Werber has a book called The Voice of the Master, and Michael Langford selected the most powerful quotes from that book and put them into Experience Your Perfect Soul. And so we are on page 164. Thank you for confirming that, Cheryl. And we are going to be starting in the section called Peace. Perfect. Peace. Yeah. So before I do that, just let me take a quick drink of water. Gosh, it's so very, very dry in these parts. And I definitely feel a little underhydrated, yes. Yeah, Karen, it's peace is perfect. That's what our meditation was on earlier, yes. Yes, it's true. I love how everything is, I'll just use the word coinkydink. Makes me laugh. So this is called Peace. Over the entire earth plane, there is disturbance. Oh my goodness, I would be a total liar to say that I have not. When I notice that disturbance or the feeling that arises as a result of the attention or the meaning I'm giving to something, I can love that. I can see that as not me. I can allow that feeling. I can allow the snippet of that thought that was occurring. I can allow the attention that had been given to that for a moment and then retracted because I noticed, oh, you know what? None of that is me, but I can love all of that. I can love that the disturbance is there. I can love that I was disgusted by the disturbance. I can love that I'm no longer disgusted by the disturbance. I can love all of it. Yeah. But it says again, over the entire earth plane, there is disturbance. Men run hither and thither, seeking satisfaction, seeking release. Yet, through this period of tumult, there runs a thread of pure gold. This thread is the truth of man's being. His oneness with divinity. You must seek out this golden thread. Only as you do, only as you do, shall peace come to abide in your heart. I'm going to pause there because in my meditations this week, I had a mental image of a thread, literally a beam of light, very, very, very thin, almost like a piece of silk. The idea of silk, the strength of silk, how fine it is, yet has incredible strength. And there was a connection between my heart and I guess I might say like the pineal gland or a space in the center of my head region where I imagine a bright light. And there was this string or this strand of silken thread. Unbroken. Unbroken. So that's what this feels like to me. You must seek out this golden thread. Only as you do shall peace come to abide in your heart. And so for me, that also symbolizes dropping from intellectual understanding into what feels like my aspiration recently to demand to know in direct experience the truth of myself. And so it feels as if that connection is to the heart space now, that for there to be a recognition of the unbroken unity of that. whatever that means. I don't know. Beloved, seek this peace. Seek to be still within. Do not be disturbed at the outer picture. And I don't say that, I take that very seriously, this what do not be disturbed at the outer picture. You know, Michael Langford says, because most of our attention has been focused outward for our entire life, because we learned a language. You know, thought, he says, is the words of your native language in your mind, your thoughts. If you were taught English, you have English thoughts in your mind. Those are learned. All of it is learned. If you, as Barb was reading from Robert Adams' book, talking about before thought, it made me think of a newborn. I had the fortune to be close to a child when she was newborn, and my mind pondered that idea that she knows no word, not one. She knows no meaning, has none. There's a pureness there. That is the essence of love, of being open. Just love. Not having to know anything. And it can be so easily seen in a baby. It just can be so easily seen. It was such a, and I actually commented to the father. I was so reflective just watching her pureness and recognizing that that was my pureness as well. There was nothing added after. And no need for anything after that. And maybe some sorrow too, that, you know, in a relative world, that is the state of the relative world. The addition of. Yeah. So again, do not be disturbed at the outer picture, and that, you know, seek to be still within. And she was that reflection of stillness within. It was sweet. You shall stand as if upon a high mount, and the hectic rush shall not disturb you. And the peace that passes understanding shall be yours now and forevermore. Yeah. I mean, who amongst us that space where it's not so hard to remain aware of awareness rather than aware of the disturbances, aware of the hectic rush, aware of the outer picture, aware of periods of tumult. And the loving all method is very clear that it's about emotions. It's not about denying whatever emotion arises into awareness. If it's seemingly, a quote, a bad emotion. For instance, if the emotion of disgust arises as a result of something I see on the news, it's not about being disgusted that I noticed my disgust. It's about loving the fact that I did notice it and recognizing the feeling that came with it too, the sensation that arose, which was, unpleasant. It's not generally pleasant. There's like some kind of trigger in the body, that happens. Even, for me, often it's just that guttural, ugh, that I notice. That disapproval of what is and how that feels. And simply asking, can you love this exactly as it is? Recognizing, first of all, it's none of it is you. None of that is you. None of it. And that's the grace of it. The recognition that none of what you're seeing or experiencing or noticing or having paid attention to momentarily and experienced as if real is real. And Barb, in her reading from Robert Adams, addressed that. He addressed that. There comes this clearer, direct experience that there's seems to be a multiplicity of, of things going on, but you're more secure in the foundation of the stillness now. Thank God. That's why it says it ends by telling us, you shall stand as if upon a high mount. And the hectic rush shall not disturb you. And the peace that passes understanding. Barb talked about, her friend wanting to figure it out, to understand it. And Barb's sense within herself was, no, I don't have to understand it. I cannot understand it. I don't need to cherry pick this apart and figure it out. I can love it exactly as it is. And turn my attention within. Only the ego analyzes. It's the imposter self once again asking me to engage in some sort of worldly activity as if it's meaningful and real. It has so many preservation strategies. And we simply love that it attempted to fool us. And we simply love that the attempt didn't work. And we love the love that is strengthened every time we notice and remember. And it says, and the peace that passes understanding shall be yours now and forevermore. Because it is yours now. It's always been ours now. It's never not been ours. But it's, clouded over by this attempt, the false attempt to understand the ununderstandable. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Loved that. Beautiful. that was the end of Eva Bell Werber. And, you know, quickly she was the inspiration many moons ago when Regina was reading this book. And she was reading it when she used to do prayer circle. And she had some time at the end of prayer circle. And so she was sharing from Eva Bell Werber. And oftentimes, when my heart thumps, I listen. It's like a little clue for me. And so I bought this book, yeah. And I've thoroughly enjoyed reading and rereading and sharing it with you guys too. So we're now into a new chapter. And this chapter is chapter 6, and it's by Ruby Nelson. The following quotes by Ruby Nelson are from the book, The Door of Everything. The Door of Everything. So I often, before I start a new section, different mystics or teachers have different styles of sharing that come through them. And this one right away, I just feel like it was in the first sense, as if, you know, the Christ is speaking to me directly. Yeah. I am the light of life with. So, again, if somebody could do me a favor while I'm going back to the beginning of this, look up the word manifold, M-A-N-I-F-O-L-D. I believe I've looked it up before for my own purposes, but normally I make a notation in the margin. I know there's a manifold in a car, but I don't believe that that's. I think it means like your many, many experiences. At any rate, yeah, Becky says I was just going to say it's not a car part. So again, I am the light of life within you, and I have continued to shine through all the darkness of your manifold experiences. But your darkness has not comprehended me. Yeah. The definition of manifold is many and various. The implication of this decision. The implications of this decision were manifold, yeah, many and various. Yeah, so we have a lot of, you know, various experiences, many experiences, dark experiences. Your darkness, it says, has not comprehended me. And again, how could darkness, if you're stuck in darkness, it's dark. How could you possibly comprehend through the density or the weight or the burden or the close-minded position, I'm going to say, of darkness? It engulfs anybody who's experienced darkness, and I believe we all have, has some feeling of what that is, and it mostly feels, you know, there may be some little ray of light there, but it feels pretty heavy, weighty. There doesn't seem to be anything to comprehend beyond it. Yeah. And yet there's this reassurance that this light of life, this truth of who I am, not as something apart from me or an appealing to a thing that is not me. This light of life, this essence of I guess I'll just say me, this essence of me, is continuous and shines through that darkness always. So even if there's simply the remembering of that, a little willingness, some faith that's true, that would take precedence over maybe the long time habit of residing in complete darkness instead, and kind of wallowing in that. And as Ram Dass says, affirm in the mind, I am that. I am that life light. Let that shine. So back to the reading. The truth is that I am always with you, no matter where you are. For in me, you live and move and have your being. If you would become conscious of my presence, again, if you would become conscious of my presence, another way we might say that is consciousness, conscious of consciousness. If you would become conscious of my presence, look squarely in my face, stretch your mind and heart, and take a long, thorough, independent look. In 1,000 different places, you keep searching for me, finding tidbits of information about me everywhere you look. Though most of it turns out to be intangible and incomplete, failing to show the way to firsthand consciousness of my presence. And to me, that directly points to a direct experience for me. A viscerally experienced experience, a direct knowing, not a just talking about it, but the actual experience. So again, in 1,000 different places, you keep searching for me, finding tidbits of information about me everywhere you look. Though most of it turns out to be intangible and incomplete, failing to show the way to firsthand consciousness of my presence. Nevertheless, the restlessness in your soul motivates you to keep the search continuing. Deep beneath your heart is the tantalizing sureness that oneness with me can be found. All the while, I am so close to you, I have been overlooked. Wow. All the while, I am so close to you, I have been overlooked. You have taken me for granted until you no longer recognize me. As you reach outward, hoping to find me, I have this funny little saying that I have framed. It's just in a little, maybe 4 inch tall by 4 inch wide acrylic frame. And it says, "I've found Jesus. He was hiding behind the sofa the whole time." And every time I read that, it makes me laugh. It just makes me laugh every single time. And that's what this particular line made me think of, where he says, "As you reach outward, hoping to find me somewhere out there," in all the ways that we've tried to do that, he says, "I hide in your mind, in your heart, your soul. I hide in the consciousness within you. But like Michael Langford has shared with us in the direct means, because our attention has been trained beyond the innocence of that, human form, that baby that reflects that true innocence, because our attention is piled onto the after effects with such intensity that now it's the training seems to take like so much practice to reintegrate within, to go within, turn the attention away from the outer distractions and go within, where that consciousness of which seems to be hidden, that hidden consciousness. It's the same consciousness that sees out, and it feels like two consciousnesses, but it's not. It's the same consciousness. So just turn the attention within you. That's all we're asked to do. Yeah. But yet he says, you've overlooked that. Your looking has been out on the over and above stuff, the additions to the language, the thought, the beliefs, the concepts, the form, the all of that. That has been where most of the looking has been concentrated. So again, this same paragraph. All the while, I am so close to you that I have been overlooked. Think about that. I mean, have you ever been in a situation where you felt overlooked? We're like, it's like, wow, I mean, they didn't even notice I was here. I mean, I could have been, I could have blended into the wallpaper. They didn't even notice. And it's like such a weird, being that invisible child where they don't even know you. I mean, it's kind of like not knowing when your kid's missing. It's like they're there, but you don't really know where they're at. It's like, yeah, that sense that, I mean, we've all had that experience. And there's that number 88 in Michael Langford's The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss, that one lesson that says, oh gosh, I hate to quote when I don't have, I have the book right here, let me just get it, but it's about loving yourself, number 88, let me just look at that real quick. Hang on. No, not there either. Don't you just love it when you want to find something and you can't find it? It's again that notion. That notion. It's not a notion. Oh, hell's bells. Just be patient with me, guys. It's about loving yourself, turning your attention towards that self that you never turn your attention towards because you're so busy looking outward. That self that, says, hey, here I am. I've been here all along, but you never looked my way. You never abide in my grace. You never love yourself. That's yourself. That's your safety. That's your freedom. That's your joy. It's your truth. It's you. Look that way. Please look that way. Please love yourself. It's that, Why would you not want to look towards that self that is only love? Look that way, please. Sort of, that notion. And it's sweet the way it's a simple way of wording it, and I still can't find it. Yeah. I don't know, guys. At any rate, I will go past that. Maybe it's in the awareness watching, awareness practice instructions. No, it isn't. I'm going to go on. Yeah. But loving that self by paying attention to it, Don't we all feel loved when somebody's, paying attention to you, acknowledging you, loving you? Being with you, listening to you, however that appears in a relative way, as well as acknowledging the truth of you. Either way. Yeah. Yeah. So again, all the while, I am so close to you. Oh, Happy New Year to you, Sharon. All the while I am so close to you, I have been overlooked. You have taken me for granted. I am your well of living waters, your reservoir of life force. And if you will learn to draw from my resources eagerly and deliberately, these resources will increase and multiply until your entire being is transformed into a vessel unceasingly running over with holy radiance. God, I mean, I'm going to read that again. For I am your well of living waters, your reservoir of life force. And if you will learn to draw from my resources eagerly and deliberately, these resources will increase, multiply, until your entire being is transformed into a vessel unceasingly running over with holy radiance. Yeah. And that so reflects the lesson today. I offer only miracles today, for I would have them be returned to me. That is the, they are the resources, right within this relative existence, the gifts from the living well of waters that is the reservoir, the life force, as myself. And I can draw as a resource from that life source eagerly, deliberately, And it says the resources don't, you know, run dry, as the world would say. No, there's no using up of our natural resources. It says they multiply. They multiply. Until your entire being is transformed. And that's the lesson today, talked about the miracle being the closest gift here on earth that can be given. And it's born of true forgiveness, which Regina says is that abiding as unaffected self, allowing, being this vessel that's talked about here, this vessel that unceasingly draws from that resource of itself that is nothing but holy radiance. It radiates only love, always, unceasingly, as self, as your truth. Never been separate from it. Yeah, I am. I am that. Okay, the submerged mind. Okay, the submerged mind is like a sunken treasure chest, chock full of wonders, waiting for you to discover it and draw it to the surface. For the most part, it lies neglected and untouched, even though I have stored within it all my powers, all my wisdom, all the truth in the cosmos, the record of existence, the force that quickens and perfects, the peace that passes understanding, the love that conquers all. This submerged mind is your center of divine wisdom, an area of mind that does not think in the normal sense of the word. It knows. The nature of it is pure and holy. It has never been touched by limited or negative belief. It is a living part of me. And I see that my time is up. That seems like a perfect way to end this section, which is not yet complete, almost, but I do not want to take up Miss Becky's time, and so I will end on page 167, about two-thirds of the way down, and pick up there again next week from Florida. Here today, gone next Saturday to Florida. So love to you guys, and wishing for everything to run smoothly and trusting that it will be so. See you guys. Thanks for joining me. Bye.